chapter 2. This one is the first session of four, covers verses 1 through 12, and is entitled Wedding Trouble. Wedding Trouble. So let's read the passage. Gospel of John, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. That's important, by the way. They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and sisters and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. So the changing of water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee is only mentioned in John's gospel. This is the first of eight signs selected by John via the Holy Spirit to picture and help us understand Christ's deity. As we know, Christ performed many signs and miracles during his three-year ministry. This one is extremely important and of a very personal nature. The disciples have just been called and will observe a very quiet, secretive miracle which testifies as to Christ's nature and purpose as Messiah and God the Son. The new disciples will witness a marriage ceremony headed for disaster. They will observe the transformation of matter by only a thought from the Savior. Christ's intervention changes the pending disaster and embarrassment for the groom and his family into unparalleled success. This, by the way, is what Christ does in every life he touches, if only we will believe. Water for washing is instantly changed into the very best of wine, bringing joy to all that partake. When we are out of our own resources, he can provide, and indeed, he supplies wine that will symbolize the joy he will provide in his own sacrifice for you and I. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That comes from Hebrews 9, verse 23. The wine will symbolize his blood sacrifice, bringing joy and victorious living to all that love him. Of course, Mary, the disciples, the groom, the master of the feast, and the servants do not comprehend the depth of meaning in what is happening. This will all be revealed in due time over the next 3 years. For now, let's dig in a little deeper into the details of this wedding, only presented to us in John's gospel. I wonder why. Maybe because he was there and intimately involved. Why do the servants of the wedding come to Mary with the news that the wine had run out? Why was she so significant? Certainly her son Jesus was not yet famous as a miracle worker. Could it be that Mary's relative Elizabeth is the mother of the groom? Some writers believe that. If this is true, then the groom is John the Baptist, Jesus' other cousin, and John, the newly selected disciple and author of this gospel, is there too. Remember, Jesus' brothers and sisters are there also. They do not recognize Jesus as Messiah until after his resurrection, but Mary understands and trusts her oldest son. She tells the servants, "Do what he says," and they do. One might ask, where is Joseph in all of this? He is not mentioned in any way. It is likely common knowledge among the attendees that Joseph had died. This, again, is speculation. Remember, Joseph and Mary were betrothed probably when Mary was about 14. Joseph would likely have been in his early to mid-20s. This story takes place when Jesus is 30, Mary would be about 45, and Joseph, if alive, would have been about 55, which exceeds the life expectancy of men in that day. So Mary is left in charge of this situation. What can she do? She turns the problem over to Jesus. The servants are told to fill the 6 water jars with water, intended for washing of hands, etc. They would never drink this water, but Jesus has a plan. The detail here is important. The 6 jars are filled to the brim with probably about 120 gallons of water. Why to the brim? So that no one can say they added wine to the water to color it and give a reason to invalidate the miracle. Christ performs this miracle without a word. He is not ready to reveal his identity, but Mary and the new disciples know and believe. The wedding feast continues in even greater joy, a joy resulting from a Savior who cares. So, Father, we praise your name that you care about us. You care about details in our lives, details in this wedding, details in the future of each one of us, details in the future of humanity. All these things are important to you. And this picture of the very first miracle of 8 that John reveals in his gospel is an amazing testimony of the fact that even without a word, you can change matter from one form to another, water into wine. You can change hearts from sin into purity. You can change lives from hopelessness into hope. And we praise your name for that and just ask for your blessing as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.